This week on Socratic Cinema. I am infinitely more invested than this than I've ever been in team sports. Like, this is my Super Bowl, right? Like,
they have a Where the Kids Now.
Oh my God.
Where's the cheese kid?
Okay.
At least things are like more compact, if very much more dangerous.
I will get shot if I walk alone at night, James. I gotta be careful.
that is true. All right, listen, I'm going to keep it real. I'm going to keep it straight. I'm going to give you the essentials, all right? Toddlers, yeah?
Yep.
Japan,
check.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Check.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-2000s.
Triple Love check. It.
Reality TV.
Yes, sir.
All right, I call it old enough.
Wow.
Big. Everyone.
Genius.
Thank you for tuning in today. It's another episode of the Socratic Cinema Podcast. We're here today to talk about the hit sensation that swept the nation like 10 years ago. We're talking about Old Enough. Woo. My name is James DeLisio.
I'm Casey Clark.
And I'm Charlie Heatherly. And that was smooth, James.
Thank you. Yeah, Old Enough. Japanese reality show from like 2008 made its way to Netflix. I'm not exactly sure when, but I don't
recently.
Feel like... Yeah,
recently.
And it's essentially, the premise is simple, right? This is a first for us. We don't normally talk about TV shows, let alone like limited series that are very plot heavy. Like this is the first time we've talked about, I think... you caught me. This is the second time we've talked about like a reality episodic show. The premise of Old Enough is simple. You get little kids, you get these little toddlers, ages like, I haven't seen any older than 4 in the episodes I've seen. 2 to 4 seems to be the prime range.
There's one that was 6.
Okay, maybe I haven't seen that one, or maybe I just forgot. But the premise is you get these little kids and you have them run errands on their own. Go to the grocery store, pick up the food for dinner, take these to the laundromat, you know. Yeah, and you have this camera crew following them around the whole time, and you just see how they do. See how the little guys do. And we selected this week because we're tired, and last week was a bit of a crunch for us, and so we wanted something nice and light to unwind with, especially as we gear up for our season finale coming in just a couple weeks here. Big things coming.
Gotta watch.
So here we are talking about a Japanese reality show about toddlers from 2008. Who would have thought, right? Not me.
Not me.
I'm gonna pass it over. I'm wondering, like, is it worth offering first impressions, or should we open it up with a different question? Like, how about what is your favorite, give a brief description of your favorite task that you've seen so far.
Oh, I got one instantly. Ooh.
Yeah, I definitely know what my favorite is. I'm hoping there's no dupesies. Casey, I'm going to pass it to you first. If you have one. If not, we can go to, if you don't have one ready, we can go to Charlie.
I have one ready.
Oh, you're locked.
Oh, Casey, go.
I have one ready. All right. I'm gonna start off with the first episode. All right, ooh. First episode, the grocery store. This kid was on top of it. Not only did he walk with his little flag all the way to the grocery store.
I love the flag.
The flag. Oh my gosh. It just brings me so much joy. Charlie and I actually highlighted that all of us have worked with kids as like a job in one way or another. And I just love it. I mean, I love Dang. Kids. Mm-hmm. And just seeing them be so capable, the way that he almost forgot that curry.
But he didn't.
But he didn't. He said, no, wait a minute. And even though He drug.
Yeah, come up with the past
those
tense.
Flowers. Drug those flowers.
He droogged them.
He droogged them.
Scromped? What was the word?
Scromped. Yeah, the scream scrumped. I just scromped. Come on, guys. But yes, I would say that would be the favorite. Because
he's
just
a strong choice.
He did what needed to be done. And he did it with class. With memory, all right?
Right,
he
no
allowed
drama,
himself,
yeah.
No drama. No drama. He allowed himself to be helped, you know? He went straight into it. Yep. And then he was like, you know what? Maybe let's reevaluate. He showed everything. Everything.
No crumbs, would you say?
He ate no crumbs.
Yes.
I could not agree more. That's such a beautiful choice.
Charlie, thank you. Thank
Charlie,
you.
What are you thinking?
Okay, I watched 8 episodes.
Okay, I only watched 7. Dang. So you
okay,
win.
So I watched the most. And my favorite episode is episode 8. Let me set the scene for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Prepare for some bad Japanese pronunciations, by the way.
Here we Here we go.
I tried my hardest. It's my Californian accent. I can't do anything about it. Okay, let me set the scene. We are in the town of Hakodate, right? Correct. Okay. Correctly pronounced. Mm-hmm. It's very hilly, and this guy lives on the top of the hill, right? Mm-hmm. His dad is a fisherman, either for his job or for, like, just a hobby. And he says, okay, our kid's going on this show, right? I want to give our, like, basically nearly 3-year-old a challenge. So he goes out the night before the show tapes, and he catches 3 fish that are, like, actually large. Like, probably each of them is only 5 pounds, but for a little 3-year-old kid, like, that's a lot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he catches these 3 fish, and he says to the kid, I'm going to put these in an ice box. I want you to walk down the hill to the fishmongers, get sashimi, come back up with a couple of groceries and the sashimi. The kid goes, okie dokie. As he's walking down the hill, he's holding this little ice box with the cord. Right?
I've seen this clip.
The cord snaps. It's not even his fault. The cord snaps and the fish roll down the hill, right? They slide down. It's all slippery.
I can hear
next,
it.
The next, like, hour, this kid only cries, like, one time when his mom shows up, like, through the window. Like, for some reason, his mom has direct view of the bridge that he's walking down. Mm-hmm. But this kid, for an hour, tries his darndest to pick up these heavy fish that are slippery with his little hands, and he can't do it. He doesn't know how to do it. But eventually, he grabs them by the tail, these 2 fish, pulls them in for the last one, the heaviest one. He can't get it. So he gets 2 sticks, literally snaps them in half with his knee, like breaks them, gets the 2, like skewers the fish in the mouth and lifts it into the bucket, right?
What?
Wow.
He can't retie it. He can't retie the knot. He doesn't know how to. He finds a random guy to retie it for him. Everything's great. He's going good. Continues to walk down the hill. Guess what happens?
It snaps again. Oh my gosh.
No.
This kid has had some experience, right? Within a minute, this kid picks up the fish the correct way from the middle, right? And he puts them all into the bag instantly. Incredibly good. He doesn't want to deal with the cord again. He's learned his lesson. So he picks up the box from the handles and holds it right next to his face, right? Super smelly. He goes down to the sashimi place, gets the sashimi. Then he gets apples and milk. This is important. These 2 apples he has in a grocery bag. This kid also gets a soda. He gets 2 sodas, one for his mom that we find out later. So he's super nice. She didn't ask for that. He also gets a bunch of mandarins. He's carrying more weight than they anticipated him to. It is like 4 grocery bags of stuff. Right on this little 3-year-old boy. So as he's walking back up the hill, he literally cannot take the weight anymore. So he puts the grocery bags down. As he does this, the apples spill out of the bag all the way back down the hill.
No.
So this kid runs down the hill, grabs the apples, walks back up. As he's putting them in the bag again, they fall out again. A man in a random car has to come and help him pick up the apples, put them in the bag. He goes back up the hill. This kid did it with an extra present, with extra mandarins. He showed resilience.
Oh,
all right.
Oh, wow.
This was a journey. I want someone to make a comic strip out of this. I'm sorry that it took so long, but this was an epic journey that I need you all to go on with.
Like,
listen, guy like me, the second time the fish fell out of that box, I would have said, all right, we're done.
Yeah. This kid's awesome.
Wow.
And that's what's so cool about this show to me, is that, like, you can actually see these kids get way less frustrated than adults would if this happened to them. If it snapped one time, I'd be like, what the heck? Like, really? Now the fish are dirty.
My day's ruined. Yeah.
Yeah, my day's ruined.
Dropped keys at door, day ruined. Yeah. Now fish?
Fish?
Freaking twice. Not once, but twice?
Apples twice? Like, this kid exerted himself, so... I forgot his name, but he did a great job. Props to him.
Yeah, wow. Gosh, that is incredible. That's truly, I cannot wait to watch that next episode.
Yeah. Because
I'm gonna finish this season. Like, there's no doubt about it. This is
absolutely.
This has been the highlight of my weekend between, like, work and stuff. But my favorite episode is episode 5. Because episode 5 has a little something unique in it, right? All of these episodes are normally about one kid. Episode 5 gives you not one, but two little troopers. And not only do you have two kids, but their boyfriend and girlfriend, their little 4-year-old dating.
Yes!
So cute. It's so cute. And they have to walk up this giant 220, like, massive stone steps to the top. And the whole way, they're being all cute and they're holding hands and I'm tired and blah, blah, blah. And they get to the top. And they get some sweet little candy as a treat. The sweet shop owner gives it to them on the house. The boy buys a little balloon. It's chef's kiss, these two kids. The way they support each other, the way they help each other out when they need it, the way the girl has to constantly keep the little kid in step doing what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I'm living for it. I am filled with joy when I watch this show. And for me, just seeing like it's so simple. It's so simple, right? What's better than one of these kids? Two. It's just like, yes, it's math. It works. And it's yes. Old enough. I cannot recommend old enough enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Dang,
that was poetic.
Great.
You know what sticks out to me immediately? Is the way that of the 7 episodes I saw, there was only one wherein the kid was like not an MVP.
Which one?
Episode 2.
Episode 2.
The little juice monger.
The juice kid.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he did not understand the assignment. But it's okay. I mean, listen, it was still entertaining. It was still cute. However, I would like to point out that episode 1 kid is 2 years old. Episode 2, twice his age, literally, and could not keep it straight, man. But I like that was the only episode with a dog in it, so it kind of it wins. It's okay for me.
I love how we're rating children on their ability to perform.
Yeah,
honestly, I love episode 2 kid. I think that he's got his priorities straight. Playing with dogs in the Japanese sun sounds awesome and idyllic to me, and that's what Miyamoto would do. He would just go on little adventures.
Are we talking about Nintendo lore now?
I'm talking about, my favorite game designer, Shigeru Miyamoto. That's what he would do. He would go out and explore caves and forests and things.
Yeah, that's how he came up with Zelda.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, I love how much, these kids defy expectations, right? Like, they're surprisingly, aside from Juice Kid, they're all love to Juice Kid. But they're really, like shockingly, good at problem solving. It's so much fun to watch them, like, figure it out. And you really root for them, you know? Listen, I am infinitely more invested in this than I've ever been in team sports. Like, this is my Super Bowl, right? Because you want to see him win so bad. And, like, I think really the epitome of that to me is in, I think it might have been episode 7 where the girl, like, did the original task that was set out for her. And then she got, like, an optional bonus task to pick up something from a watch shop. She couldn't find the watch shop, so she went back to her mom. And the girl started bawling because she like failed the optional extra mission. And it's like, you already did everything that was asked of you. And then right mid sobbing, she's like, no, I'm going to make it right. I'm going to go out and I'm going to find the watch shop and I'm going to finish what I started. And I just, where is this resilience in in our modern society. We used to be
a proper country.
It's not even our country. No, but I just like wow. Like so pure. And I don't mean
a lot James of, like, completely cut out there
no,
for you.
Yeah.
Oh, what did I? What do you mean, James?
I don't mean blank.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't mean to. I think. See, I cut out because I needed to figure out how to phrase it. A lot of times with foreign reality shows, right? I feel like there's a temptation to sort of idealize like foreign countries and that kind of thing. You see that a lot with like you know, like weeaboos and stuff, right? And I think it's important to note that like to not do that, right? Like I'm not saying like, oh, the Japanese kids are just naturally better than the American. Like that's weird, you know. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But like this show, I mean, I'm sure it'd also be different nowadays. But like, you can't do this in like Los Angeles.
I wouldn't. No. To be fair, like the places where they are getting these they're children suburbs. To perform tasks, yeah, they're suburbs, right? Like relatively right. to something like Los Angeles, you do not let a 2-year-old child out on the streets of Los Angeles. Are you kidding me?
Right? Like, yeah, no, the kid will die.
You know, and, Zusa? Okay.
Yeah, no.
In Monrovia?
San
oh,
Bernardino?
San Bernardino. Like, let's go to Myrtle. Myrtle. Take a lot to
okay don't dox this man.
I'm sorry.
Compare this to like
cut that out, right?
These kids go to stuff in like Tokyo, right?
Right,
like,
they don't yeah
they're not gonna leave them out in Tokyo.
And of course, like, they have a full camera crew with them that like it's shown
yes,
in this, like
yeah.
they will, like, the camera crew is not, they're not like totally stoic, like they get involved sometimes. Which I would listen, I would kill to be a camera operator on this. I love how they have the cameras disguised in like little buckets so the kids yeah. don't like stare at them. It's
oh,
so
yeah.
neat. And yeah, and just and the narrator too is so funny. I love it. I love everything about this. The little theme song, I love how just jubilant it is. Right, like whenever yeah. the kids set out on their mission and it does the little and then yeah. I'm into it. I'm ready and I'm on a little journey with them. This is and I love how short the episodes are.
Yep.
You can like it's totally bingeable. You
yep.
can pop one in, right? This ain't no Stranger Things season 4 where every episode's confirmed to be over an hour long.
All right.
Sir, those are movies.
those are movies.
Seven minutes, then maybe they get a little runtime bump a few episodes into like 15. And they don't need to be a second longer or shorter. Like it's the yeah. perfect length.
They use the time allotted really, really well.
They honestly mm-hmm. do. Like, and they craft. Like, speaking more to the crew and the editing, like, they craft really, like, good narrative arcs for these episodes, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
That's the struggle with like, documentary or reality-style filmmaking is that, like, you just aggregate, like, so much footage, and then the hard part is, where's the story in this? Like, I have to find a story in, like,
yeah.
100 hours of just real footage. And they do it flawlessly.
Well, I noticed something, actually.
Oh.
I noticed something.
What did you notice?
In episode 2, do you know how the kid's supposed to be making the juice, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can see that when he is playing, because, like, the arc of the episode is essentially he gets into the room, he plays around, then he makes the juice, then he goes back, right? And there's, like, a couple little things in the middle. Mm-hmm. In the very beginning, you can look at the container and you can see that there's a little bit of juice in there.
I saw that.
But they pretend that, like, he only juiced after. So
yeah,
it's possible
yeah.
that he did something and then stopped, or they just rearranged the steps so that it looked like he messed around more than he did.
I'm sure they did, and I'm sure that probably happened
wow.
like a lot. Because that's
made
yeah,
him
I
the
mean,
villain of the season.
Well, that's listen. Like I said, the story is made in post. Like they they splice it around. They splice.
Yeah, no, true.
It's got to be TV.
It's about finding the narrative. Yep.
It's got about mm-hmm. it's got to have a story no matter what. I'm sad that there's only 20 episodes of this show. As far as I can tell, like, there's not a season 2 on Netflix that I saw.
Not on Netflix, but
I'm sure it exists.
Don't quote me on this. This is probably not true, but from my understanding, this is a segment of a bigger show. And
oh.
they have, like, hundreds of these. Like, there's tons of old enoughs. But only a couple of them have been released on Netflix. So you could probably find some other ones somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like I'd like that. You know, I just it's pure. It's pure, right?
Guys,
like,
they have a Where Are the Kids Now.
Oh my!
Where's the
God.
Juice Kid?
Okay, so after you watch these episodes and then you listen to our podcast, Netflix has a article on where the kids are. And everyone should just go. They should just go and read it. They should just go and read it. I'm going to drop it in our Discord right now. But yes, please.
Yeah, we'll link that in the description of the episode, maybe or something. Yeah, I would.
Yeah,
love to
so
read
everyone
this.
can enjoy it. I was just looking up what Charlie was saying to see if it was like if I could confirm or deny it, and this utter gem, popped up. So.
Wow.
There we go, guys.
Yeah, the show's been running for 30 years.
Holy.
Really?
Holy, dude.
Mm-hmm. It's wow. It's really cool. Yeah, like, in this guy's response to like, how has the show remained so popular for 30 years, he basically says, like, its main thing is that it's documenting what Japan is like. Right. So it's less a long running program where they see these as like small narrative arcs, and they see it more as documentaries. On like the state of Japanese society, which is really cool, actually. I think it's a really fun thing for a country to have a look at how children like will act in there. Like, I would actually love to have an old enough for America. I think that'd be super fun.
I think the differences would be on the immediate family.
Yeah.
Like American reality TV and other countries. Sure. We're talking about how like, there's no equivalent to old enough in American reality TV, you know? Like, there's nothing so wholesome. Because you look at American reality TV, we got, like, Jubilee YouTube videos where they're, like, ranking seven strangers in their underwear. Gone
Why
wrong.
The right? hidden Republican.
Right, right. It's like, and then you look on Netflix and we've got Love is Blind and
all the other
sick freak shows that I don't watch.
God,
like,
awful.
This is a messed up, this is terrible. And then you look at Japan and it's like, let's talk about how capable children are and like watch them do wholesome local errands. We've lost the plot.
Well, so here's the thing. I think it's definitely indicative of each country's cultural values, because it's actually really interesting to compare American reality shows with British reality shows, and very specifically, like, game shows. So you'll see in America, every game show, like, look at Survivor, look at Jeopardy, look at Wheel of Fortune, has a monetary aspect to it. You are playing to win. And these are, like, real normal people who are trying to get money.
Isn't that insane? Isn't that sick in the head?
It's pretty wild. But in British shows, a lot of panel shows specifically are career comedians just doing stupid stuff and laughing about it. And I greatly prefer panel shows, except for Survivor. Survivor's an incredible show. It's one of the best game shows ever designed. But like it definitely shows how, you know, I would say America is probably a very competitive place compared to other nations, right? Yeah,
shocking observation.
Hot take from Charlie.
We like competition.
But speaking of competition, I actually have a question for you guys. All right. Mm. And I want good answers here. Maybe it's the American in me, but as I was watching this show, I was thinking, if I had to like sentence these children to a battle royale, what? Which child would I choose to be the victor, or would I bet my money on to be the victor, right?
Well, like in combat?
Yeah, no holds bars.
Combat?
I decline to answer. If it was a battle royale.
No, I got an answer.
No killing, James. That's ridiculous. I'm going
actually,
for knockouts.
Okay,
tap
no.
Outs. It's like MMA rules.
I would pick the girl who like went to the fish market and bought the sea bream because she has an eye for like dismembered living organisms.
Wow, that was
well, you, why listen,
this is a serious, it's weird of you to bring that up, James.
Shut
it's,
up, no it's not.
No, I'm kidding. Okay, cool answer, Casey.
All right, mine would be the kid from episode 8. All right, he's gonna ride it till the wheels fall off.
I do think Juice Kid would be a force to reckon
Juice
with,
Kid
just the utter chaos. He would be the wild card.
And he'd
just start biting ears off. He'd go full Mike Tyson on these people.
He's like the ice climbers. He comes with the dog. He's got two in one, you know, like in Smash
Here's
Bros.
The other thing that's very important about Kid from episode 8. So he loves sashimi. He watched the fishmonger cut the head off the fish that he turned into sashimi. And he averted his eyes. But you know what he did later that night? He ate the sashimi. Right, he understands the cycle of
life better
than other toddlers.
So I see your point.
For that reason, I think that he has some bloodthirsty instincts. I wouldn't go past Melon Girl either. Do we all remember Melon Girl?
Melon Girl.
Oh, Melon Girl.
There was a girl that needed to grab a melon. I forget
which episode
it was.
No, that was a cabbage.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah,
she cabbage
girl. Suddenly grabs it.
Oh, yeah.
And she ripped a cabbage out of the ground.
Yeah, with her bare 3-year-old hands.
Yeah, actually, I think that's the right answer. Like, I think objectively she wins.
Oh,
she would chokehold all of the
popping
TKO
people.
Hold on. Can I raise a question? Why are we talking about this?
Well, my segue was that I'm a competitive American and I want to talk about violence.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back around and not talk about violence. Let me pose a better competition question. Yeah. Who is the most capable?
Who would win in a hug-off? Okay.
Yeah, who would win in a competition for being sweet little guys and gals? Who is what do you think who is the most capable of all the kids that you saw so far?
Ooh, this is a good question.
The most get her done, can do attitude.
It's got to be Cabbage Girl. So professional.
So professional and so dedicated to the craft.
So dedicated, yeah. Right.
She developed technique. I think for me, if we're going duty, the girl from episode 5 in the guy girl pair, the girl from episode 5 was on a mission, and she was nonsense. She was not swayed by her boyfriend's, you know, skullduggery. She remained constant on the path. No horseplay.
Happy 70th birthday. You've just used the word skullduggery.
And listen, I respect her drive there. I also think the girl who wanted to go back to the watch shop is severe, one of the heroes of this show.
True.
I think
one of the heroes of the world, actually, of this era.
Let her be president, I think.
Honestly, yeah.
Because here's the thing. Everybody's heroes are problematic, right?
Not
her. Like Abraham Lincoln. I got some things to tell you. But if like that girl as a hero, she's a hero. She's got nothing bad against her.
You won.
Yeah, you did. You won.
Yeah, I think my new goal is to get on the camera crew for this show, or to start Old Enough USA. It's gonna happen. Well, it'd be hard also because the way U.S. neighborhoods are set up is like if we wanted to do Old Enough in our hometown, it's like, okay, go walk, you know, a mile and a half to anywhere where a store is. Right. And it's it's like a store in a massive parking lot off of a huge 5-lane main street. That's terrible.
For a child.
Right. The kid would die crossing the road. It's terrible. You'd have to find sufficiently small, compact, walkable cities, which in the modern USA, make cities walkable. as a resident of San Diego. Movement. As a resident of San Diego, I can firmly complain about how terrible going anywhere is here. Awful.
LA right here, I think we have it worse.
I definitely
you have it worse,
we
but,
have it worse.
But in the opposite direction, right? Here, it's more pleasant, sure. But again, everything is 3 miles away. And the only only streets here are massive 6-lane highways. It's terrible. At least things are more compact, if very much more dangerous.
I will get shot if I walk alone at night, James. I gotta be careful.
that is true. Just tell him you're on a podcast.
You know, I actually if I had Cabbage Girl with me.
Oh,
I would
get
stuck up, and that Cabbage Girl would TKO the guy that I'm looking at. Would grab his gun.
If you had a camera crew with you, they leave you
room.
They'd probably start asking the camera crew if they can PA on set and get a good word put in for their costume. Actually, I'm an actor. You can have my That's probably what
happened. You fill up my SAG card? I need my SAG card.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my 100 days to join the union. You know,
Yeah, can I go on the IMDb, please?
Are we being credited? Is this union? Right. But listen, the moral of the story is do yourself a favor and watch Old Enough. Whatever you're doing right now, I promise you're not having as much fun as you would be having if you were watching Old Enough.
True,
right? Severely. And you know, I know you're thinking, this is a short episode of Socratic Cinema. Like, I miss my James Charlie Casey content, and I'm feeling starved. Well, let me tell you. One, what more can you say about kids being cute, right? But two, it's because there's big things. It's because we're gearing up for the big bonanza birthday, Socratic birthday bash.
Yahoo!
Coming soon. I don't know if there's going to be another episode after Old Enough before the anniversary or not. We have to decide. But the anniversary is coming in like 2 weeks. It's coming soon. It's coming for you.
That's a threat.
So remember to send us some questions so we can answer our Q&A portion of the episode at the Google form in our social media, or you can just shoot us a question on Twitter unprompted and we'll take it. You can find us on Twitter at Cinema Socratic and Instagram at Socratic_cinema. So be there, be square for the anniversary episode. Going to be lots of laughs, lots of tears, lots of looking back at the good times this year. It's going to be our season 5 finale. We've been doing season 5 for like 7 months now, so it's about time. But thank you, as always, for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you share it with some friends. And seriously, watch Old Enough. If you want to support the show monetarily and become part of the Socratic Army, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/Socratic Cinema for as little as $1 a month. Any contributions are greatly appreciated, and we cannot thank all of our patrons enough, as always. But with that all out of the way, I think we're going to say adieu until next time. Whether that be the anniversary or not, we'll see you around. So, bye-bye.
Adios.